Turn with me, if you will, to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6. For our moment of meditation, I want us to talk about life together. Life together. Let's pray. Father, gracious God, King of the ages, we come and ask, as we have sung the great truths of the faith this night, we come and ask that you would speak to us by your word, that as we meditate upon you, we might delight to love one another better. Father, give us the heart and the essence of true religion, that we might love you, the Lord our God, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our muchness, and that we might love one another as ourselves. Father, we pray that we might be a people of Jesus, walking the Jesus way. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Galatians 6, verse 1 and 2. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. One of the most interesting men of early church history was a man named Simon the Stylite. Simon the Stylite was in the 5th century, about 430s. He was the first of what was known as the Desert Fathers. Anybody heard of Simon the Stylite? Simon the Stylite was a saint who decided that the best way to grow in his walk with Jesus was to get away from the world and to get away from people. So he took himself and a post out into the Syrian desert, and at the edge of the Syrian desert, he sat a post up, and he sat upon that post for 6 years. People came to speak to him, but Simon would not get down off his post, because he did not want to be contaminated by the world. He wanted to have his communion with God in private. You know any Simons or Simones of Stylite? You know anyone who wants to have their failures and their faith privatized so that no one ever knows their struggles and no one ever knows their relationship with Christ? The truth is, we just go about it in a different way, right? But some of us experience that desert passage, right, with faith, where we do it on our own. And it's interesting, in the Bible, we're not allowed that. The gospel doesn't allow us to live alone. It calls us to live together. As a matter of fact, we grow best in community. Faith grows best in community. And the Christian life can never be lived in isolation. For years, there were desert monks who would sit upon their post, but that faded away. It was a fad of the day. Why? Because more saints came and discovered the importance of life together, of family care and family burden. I want us to see just two things in our moment together here. First, family care. Notice there in verse 1, brothers. It could be translated rightly. Brothers and sisters, if anyone is caught in transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in the spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. What's the point that Paul has here? His point is actually really simple. I need you, and you need me. The walk of repentance and the walk through sin to restoration is a community endeavor. I need you, and you need me in the walk of faith. Now, I mean that in a corporate sense, the corporate eye. We need each other. We are to be a people caring for one another. Our lives should resonate the beauty of the gospel in one another's life. And here's the challenge I have for you. We are not to live in a spiritual desert of aloneness. We are to live in a spiritual oasis of togetherness, so that we can confront those things that are challenges before us. Notice here, Paul's concern for the church. That those who are spiritual should help restore those who are weak, but even those who are spiritual should not give way to pride, right? Lest they fall. Sin is always a struggle. This side of heaven, we need one another in the walk of faith. And one of the great gifts I have here in this church that a lot of my friends in pastorate don't have is I've got a couple of other guys to work alongside. And John and Ben and I, though one's at RUF and one's vacationing tonight, every Wednesday morning we get together, we have breakfast, we talk about life, we talk about our wives, we talk about our kids, we talk about ministry, talk about all the struggles, and then we come back and we pray in the office together, and it actually gets very personal. You know what? When you work with people closely, like we work with each other, you begin to see each other's sin patterns and proclivities of sin. And so we ask each other every week, how are you doing? Let me ask you, is there anybody in your life who's asking you, who knows you well enough that they can see your proclivity in struggle with sin, who cares enough about your soul that they ask you the question so that you can seek restoration in Jesus together? Now, some of us think when we look at this passage, this is really just about the big sins, right? When somebody really falls, then we need to restore them. But that's not how it works, right? Reformed people of all, covenantal people of all, gospel people of all should understand that the ongoing work of the gospel is a renewing and restoration of our spirit in Jesus. We need to walk together. I love those Wednesday mornings because Ben and John don't let me get away with as much as some of you might let me get away with, and they'll ask me about the real struggles and the real triumphs of faith. And I've learned that that's helpful. Now, let me tell you this. You can have accountability and still lie to accountability. Accountability is not really the answer there. A willingness to be vulnerable and open and to care for one another, that's the key that unlocks faithfulness in faith. What I want you to see here is that brothers and sisters in Christ are to walk together. We're not to be alone. Why? Because we need to help restore one another. Notice that's the aim, right? The aim is that we will walk well with Jesus so that we can be renewed and restored with Him again and again. And then there's a spirit in which we walk. It's with a spirit of gentleness. Well, some of us like to have a heavy hand with sin, right? We feel righteous when another one sins and crushed when we sin, right? The spirit of gentleness is essential to our care of one another. Why? Because simply, the gospel teaches us here that we need a family care. I need you, and you need me, in the journey of faith. But notice, it's not only a family care, verse 1, brothers and sisters walking together, slaying sin, loving Jesus. In verse 2, there's a family burden. Notice there, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. It's a beautiful verse. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know what Paul is teaching us there is that your burden is my burden. And my burden is your burden in the Christian church, in the Christian family, in the Christian life. Now, we don't generally get that, do we? We like to handle our own burdens. As a matter of fact, I would appeal to you to think about this. How well are you at burden sharing and burden carrying? Right? We tend to pull back from sharing our burdens with one another and carrying burdens together. But we are to be a people who help each other carry our burdens. I need you and you need me in the burdens of life. I mean, basically, Paul's point here is that the load is too hard and too heavy to carry alone. The word there for burden is a load that one man cannot handle. And so in the Christian life, I think sometimes we think we're strong in the Christian life if we can carry it all ourselves. The truth is, we're meant to carry it together. This life, this side of heaven is tough, right? Christians struggle. Christians struggle with sorrow and grief of heart. Christians struggle with the challenges of life and finance. Christians struggle with poverty. They struggle with indebtedness. They struggle with the challenges of family and life all around them. And we're not to isolate ourselves, but to help one another. And we can do this for this reason, that in sharing our burdens, we fulfill the law of Christ. Jesus left us a new law, right? You are to love one another as I have loved you. Bearing one another's burdens is a life of love in the community. We are called to bear one another's burdens. We can do that, why? Because Jesus carried our ultimate burden to the cross. Jesus bore our sins so that we can bear one another's struggles and walk together. You know, there are times in life when you will be caught off guard by the burdens. And this is what I find. Oftentimes when Christians are really discouraged, most discouraged, it's because the burden they have, they're not willing to share. Are you discouraged this evening at all in the faith, in the challenges of faith, in the journey of faith? We are called to share our burdens one with one another. We are called to follow Christ. Although the size and shape of our burdens may differ, the obligation of mutual burden bearing is placed upon us as a church. You know, this last year we probably had about 40 people join our congregation and about 30 people leave our congregation. Now, we're used to that. If you're here, some of you have been here. If some of you have come in this last year, and some of you have been here and you've watched 40s come and 30s leave for years, right? You've watched 50 come and 20 leave. It's the kind of congregation we are, and sometimes people get lost in the mix. Of those 30 people, most of those who left because God was calling them to a new job, a new community, a new parameters for their life, and that was a good thing. We have to learn to rejoice when that happens. But, you know, as pastor, sometimes I have to track down people who go. And two people broke my heart last year. Two people broke my heart last year because their leaving was because they just never connected. You know, it's sad when that happens in the church. And when it came down to it, when I finally got to have the question after pursuing them, this is what they felt. The church didn't bear their burden with them. The church didn't bear their burden with them, and they felt alone. Now, I'm not trying to assess blame all on us or all on them. What I'm trying to get you to see is the predicament of our heart. We are to be a burden-bearing people together because we're a family of care. You know, everybody who sits in this room right now is part of the core, right? And it's easy just to be a part of that core and to be secure. But we need one another. And those who come in our midst need us, and we need them. More and more, as I walk the life of faith, God shows me how much I need others around me. When my soul aches and my life hurts, God shows me how much I have the need of others. And what I want us to say is, and what I want us to see is that the Christian life is an investment in following Jesus, in loving one another. God's given us this gift. He's given us the gift of Christ and the gift of one another. And there will be times of burden, and there will be times of sin. And the gift that He's given us is a Spirit who will confront us and conform us, and a brother and sisterhood of Christ that will sustain us. Let us be a burden-bearing people. Let's pray. Father, I thank You that You have called and put us together. Father, as I look around this room and as I am reminded of the gift of each person, each status of life, each challenge that is among us, I ask, Father, that You would help us to live in life together for Your glory. Father, I pray that people outside us would see the contagiousness of our love for one another because they see a people who care about one another and they see a people who bear one another's burdens. Father, give us holiness and give us happiness in the walk of Christ together. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.